Fine.
Happy Monday morning. You are with the TBL SEC coaches on the Sprinkles of Sped podcast. I'm Allison Brumley, and I'm here with
Caitlin Lee.
Ann Gleason. And our special guest today is Amanda Davis. Amanda, give us your 30-second bio.
Hey, Al, I have been teaching. This is my 15th year teaching, and in the past I have done high school sped, middle school sped, and 1 year of elementary special education. And then before I did this job, I did 5 years of an elective called Success Seminar, which we did life skills for sixth, seventh, and eighth grade gen ed student, gen ed special education. Everybody in the building got to have my class. So now I am a transition facilitator and a work experience teacher, and I love every single second of it. We're having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. You have been all over the place and all the things. You know what? That's kind of like me, kind of like Anne. Caitlin, you've mostly been elementary, but we've all kind of had all the experiences. Okay, since you came, you get to draw a question from our random question jar. It's kind of our icebreaker.
What's the most unusual pizza topping you've tried and liked? I don't know. I guess I don't know if it's unusual, but this summer I tried like a pulled pork pizza from Casey's and it was delicious.
Oh, that
Yeah,
does
that one
sound
was
good.
really good.
I've
Yeah,
had
then
barbecue chicken pizza before.
okay.
That sounds very similar.
Some pulled pork is good.
All right. So we're just going to ask you some questions and have a little conversation about transition. First of all, what is transition? We know it's a part of IEPs for kids. So give us a little bit of context and then maybe tell us a little bit about a transition plan.
Transition on an IEP starts at age 14, for all special education students. The goal of it is to start students thinking about their future after high school. So transitioning out of high school is the goal so that they get the job that they want. So whether they go on a college route or just like a working on the job training route, the IEP is to focus on those pieces so that that student can reach those goals.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell me what a transition plan is. So I get like the big picture of transition. What do we actually have to put in an IEP?
There's several pieces. So the first piece is the transition assessment portion, where teachers should be giving their student transition assessments, formal and informal. They can do interviews, just get to know the student, get to know what they like and what they're good at. And then from there, you move on to making sure they're getting into the classes that are in their interest, and then adding outside agencies in or offering them so that students have more opportunities to explore different pieces of job world, college world. And then anything else, like some of our CBR classes, a lot of them have needed transition services in their IEP, and those are like life skills, adult living objectives, related services, things that are going to help them transition into adult life.
So that is a lot of stuff. That sounds like it would be really hard to get kids to buy into because most kids I know don't want to do any extra assessments or like they're done. Good on you.
I feel like these ones are kind of fun, though. It's about them. A lot of students like to talk about themselves, I think.
A lot of adults like to talk
A
about
lot of
themselves.
adults do. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm
So
a little bit guilty of that myself.
I don't think transition assessments are too hard for students because they're not, it's just asking what they like and what they don't like. The interview portion is my favorite because I really get to dig in deep and ask more questions from kids. Give things, so.
It's interesting to me with the transition plans how important they are, but on the IEP in your actual paperwork, I think it's only maybe a page or a page and a half in the actual IEP. So when we're thinking of our kiddos, 14 and older, and their whole lives are ahead of them, we're giving them a page or a page and a half in their document. And so talk to us a little bit about, we have such a short amount in the IEP. I know that you guys do transition goals. So talk through how important those are. How do you, as a team, along with a student, figure out what their transition goals might be and how that all works into their future?
Well, all of the assessments that I talked about earlier, those help you to create those goals. And the first one is employment goals. So whatever that student wants to do within reason. So, you know, you've got the MLB, NFL players. That's not always a reality. So talking to students about figuring out how to use their strengths and what they love to find a goal that is
it's that whole
attainable for them. Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Right, right. So I like to make sure it's something the student wants to do, but also something that they're able to do. And then the second goal in the IEP is the training. So you just take that work goal and figure out what kind of training they're going to need. Is it attainable for them? Are they able to go to college to get that employment goal? And if not, you have to have those conversations of what are some things you could do maybe within that field, just to make sure that it is, again, attainable for them. And then the third goal that not all of our students have, but some of them do, is an independent living goal. Sometimes students live with family, sometimes they live in a group home, sometimes they do live independently in an apartment, and sometimes they just need a little bit of assistance after high school to get to that place in their life. So,
yeah. I'm going to be honest. I think everybody needs an independent living goal.
I agree.
I mean, I know it's not required, but I think of my own children. This weekend, my middle schooler asked me how long she could live at home when she was done with college. And I'm like, well, I don't know.
It's so expensive to live. So
I know.
I get it.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because some of our students really understand the concept of money and budgeting and being able to kind of take care of it. I think naturally people are more able to think that way. But then we also have some kids who need that, like, here's how much money you have in a month. Here's how you budget that. And some of our kids aren't able to even do that. And so it's exciting that we've got the living part as a part of their future to figure out how can we support these kids to be as independent as they possibly can, and yet provide the support for those kiddos that do need some of that.
Caitlin and I have decided we need a budgeting class too.
Yes.
Right, right on.
That would have been awesome.
I feel like I missed out a part of my education.
What are some examples of transition services?
Well, so there is my side of needed transition services in the IEP, and that is our work experience class or work study class. And so I take juniors and seniors, and we go and find mostly volunteer positions at different jobs. Students change every semester, try something new, and go to work for their class period with me. So I put that in there. That is for students that really need that, haven't had a job yet, probably, or can't keep a job. So I really, that is definitely one of my favorite parts of my job, is finding different places and seeing what students are interested in. Some of them start and have no idea. There's others that are like, I want this and I'm going to try it. And then they try it and they're like, never mind, I don't want that anymore. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. And some other transition services would be like our life skills class. They are cooking, cleaning, shopping, those kinds of things are those transition services.
Yeah.
So I'm still learning about that one, so I don't have the everything on that. But
so I have a random question that's kind of like off the topic here. Not off topic, but it's veering off for a second. So like when you take the kids out and about, is there a certain mile radius that you go within, or
well,
I'm just curious.
Yeah, we have to keep it within, I would say, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Depends on the class and which school I'm at and how long we have. So I have one student, I am actually trying to get him, he's at a farm currently, but he doesn't get to stay very long. And he loves going to work. And it's a really beneficial thing for him to do, is going out to the farms. He's 18 minutes away from school. So it takes, the drive time takes quite a bit of time.
A 43-minute block, basically you spend all but 5 minutes in the car.
Yeah. So he's in two, and we do get him to leave early some days. And if a student before him, if she is not at school, we'll leave a little bit earlier than that if we can. But yeah, so we're working on that. But usually, it's usually 5 to 10 minutes with him. But if I have a really cool spot, I will say I do have one, another one that is doing an internship at a football, or for a football team at Baker University. And so
that's awesome.
That is cool.
It's quite a drive. He just goes 2 days a week, but it's like a 40 minute drive, I think. You take us.
You transfer
I
the
take him
kid?
there, and then his mom or grandpa picks him up.
Okay.
Yeah, he stays for 3 hours though, so he's staying for a long amount of time
That
just.
is really cool.
Yeah, so if I can make that work, I will. It's just, that's
And
hard.
it's so exciting to me that they get to try all these different things. And then I'm going to pull it back to the transition plan because we review the transition plans yearly. So if kiddo has a transition plan and he wanted to be whatever at 14, by the time he's 16, 17, 18, hopefully he's had some other opportunities so that then you can adjust the transition plan and make that work, throughout his high school career or her high school career.
Absolutely.
So, what kind of students are you looking for in your work study classes? Is there like a requirement they have to meet?
So we just decided that we need to kind of make a requirement, some certain requirements, because I had some students that started with me at the beginning of the year. It wasn't on their IEP. My minutes do go on the IEP, but they already had a job and they've had a job for a year. And I was like, do they need help? Is there a need for me? And they're no, not really. If students are able to get a job, they go through the interview process, they get it, and then they're able to keep it and not have any needs without me in the first place. I don't know that my services are necessarily needed, but students that are really having a hard time, like I have several this semester that have probably had 3 or 4 jobs because they can't keep it. They can't maintain, and I think executive functioning is a big part of that. One of them didn't realize he had 3 days of work on the schedule, and so he just didn't show up because he didn't know.
Boy.
Yeah, so those are just things that we work.
Right.
And then I make sure, like, if they do want paid employment, I help them with their job applications. I read over them, proofread them. We make resumes.
You do practice interviews with them too?
We will, yes, we
Yeah.
do that. We had one that had a McDonald's interview earlier this semester. He did not get it, but I told him, I said, I think this is because we need more practice. So he's taking that and he's doing a volunteer position right now for now to get some work under his belt and understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are nerve-wracking.
Right. I agree.
I agree. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, how do you find jobs for all of these kids?
Sometimes it's a struggle in these small towns. I have some of my go-tos all the time, like Perky's here in town. They'll take everybody. They're amazing. Like I have a couple kids going there right now while I'm still working on getting a placement for them. And they just teach them different skills, mainly like dishwashing, and some of them are prepping food. But yeah, I just reach out to whoever I can find that will talk to me. I made some flyers this year and I went out to different businesses and gave them my flyer. And I probably, like, Dollar Tree's probably sick of me, but I probably went and saw her, I don't know, 7 or 8 times until I got an answer. So corporate's harder because they have rules where they have volunteers there, so they have to hire them. But if they're not somebody that they would want to hire, they won't. So yeah, that's a little bit tricky, but yeah, I just go out, I talk to people, and try to find whatever I can find for kids that they're interested in. Use my resources. A lot of teachers know people that I don't, so
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
okay, so we're going to shift gears. One of the things that you mentioned was outside agencies. We talked about that like way at the beginning of our conversation. Talk us through what is an outside agency, like why is it important? Do all kids need an outside agency? Just kind of give us a rundown
Okay,
of that.
all students need an outside agency, but a lot of them, with the first one that I will tell you about, I think would benefit from it. So outside agencies are not affiliated with the school, but we work closely with the school. And the first two are with the state of Kansas, and actually the CDDO is through our county. And then I think it is something federal, actually. So the first one is pre-ets. And these are the only three that I really kind of have mastered. There are more than what I will talk about because there are more. I just don't know the details about them. But pre-ets is our first one. It's pre-employment transition services. They come into our building every other month. They meet with students that have signed up and they go over job exploration, self-advocacy, workplace readiness training. They'll talk about how to get where they want to go after high school, similar to what we do in our transition assessment. It's just one more person talking to students about that. And then if students don't have a job by their junior year of high school, they will do a work-based learning experience, which is really cool. They pay them money, so the kids really like that.
Yeah, I like that.
And they do similar to me. They'll go out into the community and try and find them a job. It's just the job place doesn't do the paying. It's through Pre-Et's voc rehab that I don't know where the funding comes from, but they pay the students to do that. So
That
that's kind
is
of cool.
cool.
Yeah, I really like that, and I love our Pre-Et specialist. She's wonderful and super sweet and wants to make sure that students are getting what they need. And she really, I feel like, tailors it to each individual student. She'll meet with them in groups sometimes, but she'll also do individual.
So how do you get hooked up with Priets? I'm like, that's a deal. I'm like, my child's 11. Can she have Priets when she's 14?
When she's 14, you do have to qualify with an IEP. So your student has to have an IEP, and there's just a one page sheet that you have to fill out, and that's it. And then I take care of the rest. So if you were a parent and you didn't have a me for you, then you would, I think they might have it online, or they have a contact online that you could find. And then you fill out this one page with your, it's just your information pretty much. And then a release of information, you have to send their IEP with it. And then that's how you qualify. And then she call or she'll go to the school and meet with your student and make a plan.
Very
Yeah,
cool.
it's pretty simple. It's the easiest process that I have.
And it's amazing to me how sometimes having an outside person outside of school, outside of your parent, coming in and visiting with students, I think sometimes some students would be more receptive to that because I think they might see this outside person as, wow, this person really is concerned and cares about me. And maybe they might feel more comfortable talking to an outside person. Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I love the Priets. The more I
I
learn
love it.
about it, the more I'm like, oh, this is,
Yeah, I think it's pretty great. Yeah, and we have been really lucky with some really good specialists
So
in
now
our county.
kids, I'm sorry for interrupting. Kids sign up, parents sign the permission to get that done. Say they sign it at 14, the parents only have to sign it
They
once.
only sign it once, and that service can last until they're 21 years old.
Oh.
Yeah. Unless they go to the workforce after high school. So if they go to a recognized education facility, they can continue until 21.
Okay, very cool.
Neat.
I did not know that.
Yeah, good one. The next agency is vocational rehabilitation. That doesn't actually kick in until after high school most of the time. Now it does a little bit when if the student does the paid work-based experience, they will provide a job coach if the student needs the job coach on that. But otherwise, I have to send diplomas and transcripts. And once they have those transcripts, they can start their service. Their application's a little bit bigger. And qualifications are not just an IEP. I don't actually know what their qualifications are. I think it's just case by case basis.
It's one of those fill it out and see.
Yeah. And I definitely encourage every student and their parents to fill it out. And we do talk about it once they hit the age of 16, because the application is kind of long and lots of information. It asks for lots of personal information, like bills and, any kind of aid that you're on, it will ask for all of those things. But they will help pay for school or training after high school, as long as the student keeps a 2.0 grade point
And some of
average.
that training is expensive.
And so there's other things. Voc Rehab does a lot of different things. They'll pay for tools, they'll pay for clothes. If they're all for work, if it's going to benefit the student to get the job that they want, they will make that happen. I have a colleague that has migraines, and she was able to get like tinted glasses from them paid for.
Wow.
So I
So
don't
not
know.
just for students, for young adults and
Yeah,
anybody who
that's
has a need.
up to forever.
Very
That's so cool.
Yeah.
All right, so I've heard these letters before.
Oh yeah.
CDDO, what does that stand for?
Community development. Hold on. Developmental disability organization. I think I'm right.
Community
Community.
Developmental Disability Organization.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I don't know. I guess for CDDO.
That's a mouthful.
Yes, but it is, this one is for our students that have more significant needs. Our person, Janice, kind of goes through and has this process. And I, again, there are some students that qualify that I wouldn't know would qualify. And then I have some that I'm like, yes, I definitely know this one will qualify. So it's another one where you want to get on our intellectual disability, developmental disability waiver. It's a 10 plus year wait
Ooh.
To get the funding for this. So the funding covers, so you guys talk about the budgeting. Well, we have some students that just, that is not something that they are going to be able to do independently. And the CDDO, if they get the waitlist funding, they can have people that help. They have case managers that can help with the grocery shopping, the bills, the independent living, or group homes, or whatever it is, living wise, they can help with those things. And that's what the funding goes to. So I say in elementary school, try to get your kids on it, even if you're not sure they're going to need it, get on that waiting list because every year they're going to ask you, do you still want on this waiting list? And you say yes. And then if you decide at age 17, no, they're fine. They're going to be able to do this without any assistance. You can say, no, I don't want that anymore.
Wow.
So,
So do you get invited to some of the IEPs for like some of our younger kids in elementary school to talk about the CDDO with parents?
haven't yet, but I am hoping that I can get in
Okay.
to some of those soon. I've been going to middle school once,
Okay.
but I'm hoping this year I can get
Okay.
into, or my other half, I hope he can get it because he's
Yeah.
already there for his
Yeah.
adoption.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because in my mind, as a parent, I don't know that at 6, 7, 8 years old that I would be
Oh
thinking,
no, you're
you
right.
know, but wow, when you hear there's a 10-year wait list for some of this stuff, it's important that we
Well,
let our parents
and
know and
we can
feel.
only keep kids through their 21st birthday that
Right.
school year. So
So
once
lucky
you're
yourself.
21,
Yeah.
and I feel like the wait list used to be 8 years and now it's
Yeah.
10,
It is.
so who knows what it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah, I
Well,
haven't checked in on it this school year, but last school year it had changed. That was when it changed from the 8 to 10. So I don't know. I'm hoping with some of the funding coming in, hope that they are able to change that. And
So that sounds like a great thing that teachers with like elementary school kids
yeah,
in
every, yep.
our programs
Yep.
could do. Are there
Definitely.
is there anything else that teachers, IEP teams for younger kids that they could do to help prepare for transition? Because I know we have to do it at 14, but what about younger kids?
I think definitely getting our students hooked up, our parents hooked up with the CDDO is going to be huge. Or if it is a student with like behavioral needs, getting them connected with guidance center because that's another a different waiver. Also have there's a lot of different waivers actually, like physical disability waivers, and those can help with buying wheelchairs and things like that. Usually social workers are able to give that information. I think most of our younger kids have that from social workers. I don't know, probably from hospitals. But yeah, I think if you need hooked up with CDDO, definitely do that as an elementary. Our other teachers, I don't know, just talking to kids probably about just ideas of different jobs, things that they would like, things that are real to them and that they would like, just gets them thinking. So yeah.
I like that.
Some life skills. Encourage parents to do to make them do chores at home.
Period. I
It's so hard when I've had a student in the past that like I'm pretty sure he didn't ever have to do a chore. So when we had him try a little bit of custodial work. It was really hard because he had no idea how to push a broom. He had no idea how like the detail that it takes to clean something. So make your kids do chores whether they like it or
I'm
not.
gonna tell them Amanda say they have to learn how to do
Yeah,
chores.
my old life skills class, I used to make kids, they had to go home and get parents to sign off, and they had to clean it four different parts of their house in a week, and their parents had to sign off on it. And they would come, the kids would come back and be like, I'm so mad. My mom made me do this. And I'm like, it's good for you. I promise. Hands off.
Yes. Okay, so can you just tell us some stories with some students you've worked with of transition?
Sure. I do have a couple success stories that are kind of fun. This is only my third year, but I still like, I just love all my kids that get to do some really cool things. I did have a senior last year, kind of was a jerk to me, and I called his mom. I said, he is really not being very kind right now. And we were we got an interview for him at a grocery store. He was so nervous, he was being mean to me. And I was like, what
to me? So God, you not deserve this.
This, you are not like this. This is not who you are. What is going on? But we went in and he interviewed and I sat in on the interview with him and it was fine and he did a great job and he was hired on the spot. And so that was really good. And then afterward, he like apologized and was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, it's fine, but please don't be mean to me more. That's not what I was expecting from you. We're going to an interview. Anyway, he grew so much from that. Like, he worked the entire year and then he started working a ton of hours and he was consistent. He always got really good evaluations from his job. I was just really impressed with him because he had really had a lot of history of being at a job and he'd be like, yeah, the boss was mean or the boss didn't like me. Mm-hmm. Everything was an excuse. Well, this one, he stayed and was able to stay. And I was just so proud of him that he did that. So I think he actually probably quit now because he's going on to like welding, but yeah, for him to hold a job for a full solid school
That's
year.
Huge for lots of kids.
Yes, I was so, so proud.
And just the ability to learn how to work with others, do things that you don't want to do and not complain. Yes. I mean, those are huge life skills that some kids don't have going into a job.
And I'll tell you, he said, I do not want to be a cashier. So I was like, okay, well, make sure to tell the HR director that you do not want to be a cashier. Well, by the end of the year, he had tried being a cashier and it was fine.
Wow.
And he
did fine. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I know.
So now he said, you have set him up to not be afraid to try things that he normally wouldn't try, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's life-changing, Amanda. We talk about our jobs being life-changing and we teach kids and all of that. And it's true. But I mean, you make a financial difference in the lives of these kids and their families and potential families. And yeah, that's amazing. No wonder you love your job.
I love your job.
I do have another kid I'll tell you about. And he was one of the kids who's like, I have no idea. No idea what I want to do with my life. And I was like, well, let's try my Safe Place Perkies. And we did. And they loved him. He loved them. He's still working there. He's been working there for 2 years.
Wow.
He is their dishwasher, or he was their dishwasher. I should say that. He was their dishwasher. And then he started getting interested in culinary. So his senior year, he went to culinary school. And so then they started letting him, because he had all the Safe Serve certifications, they started letting him prep the food and make a few things. And so now he's still there. I think he's going to turn into their cook now, slowly, but they're teaching him how to run that kitchen.
That is so cool.
Wow.
I'm proud of him too. Because he was so like, I don't know. And he'd just look at me like blank, like no idea.
Wow.
But, yeah. So now he's going to cook.
Okay. I can't tell you the last time I've been to Perky's, but that is going to be on my top restaurant of places to go in the near future.
I'm thinking we need a lunch trip to
Perky's. Right. Oh my God. Yeah.
I love them. They've been nothing but nice to my kids and accepting and
And so I think they, as employers, also see the impact that they can make on these kids too. And that's amazing.
Wow. So we volunteer during the week and then they'll hire them sometimes. They see what kind of workers we have.
Sure.
They'll hire them on the weekends. They do have one, oh my gosh, that came in. He had left for a year. He was supposed to be in our 18 to 21 year old program. He's not there, but they hired him on the weekend to be a greeter.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
I know, my heart's so happy. I go in there like, yeah, this is what he did this weekend. I'm like, oh.
That is so cool.
And people love him.
Yeah.
That's what he's good at is greeting others and being funny and
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Anything else you want to add or share with us that, you know, as we wrap up our conversation here?
Well, if any of our teachers hear me, reach out to me if you have any questions about transition sections on IEPs, if you have any questions about getting on wait lists or pre-ets, voc rehab, any of that, please reach out to me. Or parents, same thing. Please reach out. I want to help. I want to make sure that your student is ready for adult life.
Amanda, you are fabulous.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming and talking with us today. I feel like, you know, I've been doing IEPs for a long time and I've taught high school, but I feel like I understand transition more after these conversations that we're having. Like, I see the purpose of it and I appreciate that so much.
Yeah.
So Thanks for joining us on Sprinkles of Sped. We might have to have you come back sometime.
Love it.
Awesome. All right. See you later.
Bye.